Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 4. And I know this whole year that whatever our daily reading was, I was preaching on something from that. But for this last Sunday of the year, I'm going to deviate from that and go back to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. Philippians, a little four-chapter book there in the New Testament, one of the epistles written by Paul. Philippians 4, verse number 4. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Now I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. And God's Word says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we come before you here this morning just asking that this last Sunday of this year, that there will be something about this scripture verse that we just read that is going to be transforming in our lives here today and from this day forward. Father, your scripture, that's what it does. It transforms lives. And we want to see that in all of us here today. I pray for this message that I'm about to give. I pray that it will be holy and pleasing to you. And Father, as always, I must decrease, you must increase. I hide behind the cross, and you get all the glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, to finish off 2014 here, on this last Sunday, I guess the Holy Spirit just kind of put it upon me that I'm going to end with a message that I feel is going to be very, very practical for some more than others. But of course, it will always have a biblical foundation. We certainly can't leave that out. So we're going to get very practical this morning. Does that sound good? Sounds good. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Gail and I were having a conversation, and we were discussing the differences between men and women. Now, like I said, there's a whole sermon series right there. But in our little discussion that we had, she asked me this question. She said, Mike, do you know the one thing that men like to talk about the most? Well, of course, I had a few ideas running through my mind. And I said, no, dear. What do men like to talk about the most? And she said, themselves. So on this last Sunday of 2014, I am not going to disappoint my wife. I'm going to talk about me. But in the process of talking about me, I'm going to be talking about you also, and probably most of you. I like normal. I like things to go nice and even and steady. And for me, when there's bumps in the road, that makes for a difficult situation for me. Certainly there are some bumps that I can overcome and some that have been rather challenging. When we run into these situations, for the sake of the remainder of this message, I'm going to call them, sometimes we run into a new normal. This is what normal used to be, but just because certain events and certain situations come into our lives, we now have a new normal. Whatever the old normal used to be has just now been done away with because there's now a new normal. New normals can be good. They could have good outcomes. So let me give you, for instance, maybe you've been driving the same car for years and years and years, and it's getting kind of old, and you need a new one. So you go on out and you buy yourself a newer car that's so much better than your old one. And now you're living in a new normal, and that new normal is better than what it was before. Your old car is gone, all the old problems have gone, and now you have this newer car that runs so much better. A new normal. I believe Jacob and Amber are living in a new normal right now, as is the whole Lipscomb family. There's a new baby boy in their lives, and what Jacob and Amber used to know as husband and wife has now changed. Their normal is no longer what it used to be, and as of October the 8th, there's a new normal in their life. There's now a third person in their life, and their normal has changed, and once again, for the good. For Lee and Kim, they're now grandparents. The normal has changed. But what if? What if what we used to know as normal, and life is good here at being normal. We wake up, things are good. But what happens when we wake up, or something happens in our life that normal becomes a new normal, and it's not a good new normal? And sometimes these new normals really make us uncomfortable. They take us out of our comfort zone. Or they might really cause, might be a tragedy or something in our life. And we don't like the new normal. We like things the way they used to be. But we're faced with the reality of the fact that what used to be normal just isn't going to be there any longer. Something new has happened. And sometimes it might be a decision that we made on our own that might not have been a very good decision. And it might be something that we have made decisions years and years and years and years ago that has been building up, building up, building up, building up. And now we find ourselves in this situation where all of a sudden something has changed. It could be as devastating as the loss of a loved one, a spouse, a friend, a family member. And what used to be normal isn't normal anymore. It's a new normal. Now we have to go through life without that person as being a part of our life. Or it could be something as a health issue. We might have a health issue going on in our lives, and that's something that I have been confronted with, and something that many of you might have been confronted with or may be confronted with right now. Your health is not what it used to be. Things have changed, and you'll never go back to being 18 again. And you really wish, my goodness, I wish I had that health that I used to have maybe even last week. Things have changed. Well, I stand before you here this morning as your pastor saying this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have been called by God to be the pastor and spiritual leader of Beech Grove Christian Church. I love being here, and you know how much I do enjoy you and being the pastor of this church. But I stand before you here this morning saying this. I have a new normal. And I have struggled with my new normal. Now, you might say, well, it doesn't seem like you have. Most of you only see me for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. And it's very easy for me to put on a facade and a smiling face and say that everything's been going right. Unfortunately, this lady over here lives with me the other 166 and a half hours of the week. And she can tell you that it has been an extreme roller coaster ride for me going through this situation that I've gone through with these eyes. I like normal. And all of a sudden, when something like that happens to a person, it has really taken me out of my comfort zone. So much so that I found out that as much as I wanted to walk the Christian walk and approach it with solid biblical principles, I found myself over here being so human. Sometimes our humanity we get caught up in it, don't we? And that's where I have found myself over these last couple months. And I know that we're all human. And I know that we have these things that go on in our human minds and human desires that we know that they're going to come out sooner or later. But we also know this, that over here are the Christian ways to approach different situations and difficult situations. But why is it that sometimes when things get difficult, even though we might know this, sometimes we just love being over here? And sometimes over here isn't a very good answer. And let me tell you something else that happens when we're over here in our humanity and not over here on God's side. Let me guess who else lives with us over here. The evil one, Satan, the devil. And he is trying his best to make me, to make you feel as miserable as possible about whatever trial or whatever loss you and I might be going through. Be it, again, a loss of a loved one, a difficult situation, a health situation, a job situation. You fill in the blank what that might be for your life. And he wants us to get as far away from over here as possible, because he likes it when we think like human beings, doesn't he? He likes it a whole lot. And we like sometimes to wallow in our misery. And you could ask her, and she would tell you, or you could ask me, and I would tell you, I have not been a very pleasant person to be around because I have been over here way too much when the pastor of your church should have been over here. Luckily, I have Christian friends. I know I spoke at length with Daryl last week, and he was very, very encouraging for me. Spoke with my family, with my son-in-law and his family, who are solid Christian people, and they gave me a whole lot of encouragement. And I find myself more over here now than what I was over here. But come on, people. We're humans, aren't we? We're human beings. And sometimes this gets the best of us. Well, this morning, I want to be an encouragement to all of us here this morning that if you find yourself sometimes being over here because of that loss, and let's face it, whatever that loss may be, loss of partial eyesight or loss of a loved one or loss of a job or loss of whatever, the Christmas season is a more difficult time to go through that, isn't it? It isn't, because all those emotions run. Whatever your difficult situation might be, whatever your loss might be, and maybe you're not going through one, and praise the Lord. But I know that some of you have gone through some difficult times here lately. And I'm not going to try to figure out why that happened. I don't know the sovereignty and the plan of God. Although I will share with you a conversation that I had with a fellow Christian friend over the last month. And he's gone through a very difficult physical time right now. And as I was talking with him and praying with him, he said this: Mike, I feel like God is punishing me because for too long I have been a very sinful man. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to argue with that, and I'm not going to deny that. He has to work that out with the God that he serves. I have to work my situation out with the God that I serve, which is the same God that we all serve. And I don't know how all that stuff works out. Maybe God will let us know when we get into eternity. I kind of hope he does. But where I want to go here this morning isn't how we got there or what God's plan is for our life, or why we have to go through a loss or a difficult situation. What I want to do is this. I want to go through four things. And some of these might be a little on the comical side. Four things that we shouldn't do as Christians when we find ourselves going through a loss or a difficult situation. Because we can. Because I know. I've been through these. Because we are all still over here sometimes as human beings who have flaws and we have faults and we have fears. And I understand that. You know, it's easy to preach God's word when things are normal. But when things are not normal and there's a new normal in your life, all of a sudden you find yourself having to stand on the promises of God, which will lead us back to Philippians 4 here in a little bit. But let's go through four things that just might go through your mind when you're going through a difficult situation or a loss of some sort. Now, I'm not going to say that I personally dealt with all four of these or that I caved into any of these four, but I will say this. All four of these did cross my mind as I was going through my situation. Let me use my example as an example here this morning. On the morning of November the 5th, I woke up knowing that I would have cataract surgery that day. Have you ever done this? When you know that something is going to happen and maybe you're a little anxious about a situation or maybe a little nervous, maybe a little fearful, that you say this, well, you know what? This morning, I know this is going to happen. I think I'm going to put on my lucky socks. You ever been superstitious? Have you ever been so human that you've been superstitious that you said, you know, I got these lucky socks that I wear so everything will come out okay? You know, so often we do that in our humanity, don't we? If you have a pair of lucky socks and they work, please make a pair for everybody in here, would you please? So we could all have a pair of lucky socks. But let me assure you, my friends, we can't go there, can we? That's all superstitious, and that is all part of the occult, and that is all a place that our Christian minds really can't wander, but you might find yourself wandering there because sometimes our humanity is sometimes a little more powerful than the spiritualness that we'd really like to have inside us. So, and there are certainly scripture verses, Leviticus 20 verse 6 and Deuteronomy 18 verses 9 through 13 that warn us. God warns us time and time again, stay away from those things. There is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as superstition. There is no such thing as your horoscope. There is such a thing as the occult, and you better stay away from it. So lucky socks, when you go to put them on the day of your surgery, trust me, I don't care how lucky they might be. Sometimes they're just not going to work, okay? Lucky. We stay away from luck. But then we find ourselves here. I have just had the surgery. The surgery really didn't go well. And I'm sitting there on the morning of November the 18th, and I'm partially blind in my eye. And again, use your situation to fill in the blank. And you say this, Lord, would you just give me a sign? You ever been there? You ever been there? Well, let me tell you where that's coming from. That's coming from the human side over here too. Okay? We don't need signs. We don't need wonders. A wicked and adulterous generation look for what? A sign. Okay? We don't need that because I have to ask this question. What sign are you looking for? Is it that bumper sticker that's on that car? Oh, look, God must be talking to me. Look what the bumper sticker says. Or you're at the grocery store and you see that, oh my goodness, look, here's a sign from God. I know he's going to heal me because look at the sign. It says it right here. I know it. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Or you walk into work and you have that daily calendar that you rip off a sheet every day. Oh my God, there it is. There's the sign from God. He's saying he's going to heal me. I know things are going to get well. How do you know the good signs from the bad signs? Because I assure you what we do is this. We look for what we want to look for, don't we? And then I have to ask this question. Who is the sign from? Is it a sign from God? Is it a sign a figment of your own imagination and mind? Or is the sign maybe from the evil one? A wicked and adulterous generation look for signs. Thomas, the apostle, walked with Jesus for over 3 years. And after he seen everything that he had seen, in John chapter 20, he still what? He doubted. Sometimes even when we see the signs, we still don't believe them. So we don't look for signs. Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that will tell us everything that we need to know. That is the sign that we need to go to. So, you're sitting there with your lucky socks on that aren't so lucky anymore. You're asking for a sign and you don't know which one to go to. Then you go to stage three. Again, this is our humanity taking over. You start making deals with God, don't you? God, if you do this, then I promise I will do this. Well, that's once again, it's coming from our humanity side over here. We want to make deals with God, don't we? And it's inevitable. I guarantee you that if you made a deal with God, you and I would never, ever, ever live up to it. Because whatever deal you make, you'll break that promise probably within 10 minutes, a day, a year. You don't make deals with God because there's only one covenant person here, and that's God. And trust me, when God makes a deal with you, he'll never break it. But if you make a deal with God, you will. We will never be able to keep our end. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. He says this about oaths. He said, let your yes be a yes, or your no be a no. Anything else comes from the evil one. And sometimes we might find ourselves over here with our yes being a yes or our no being a no, but sometimes we find ourselves not being able to keep the deals that we make with God. You know, God, if you take care of this eyeball of mine, I promise I won't give just 10%. I'll give 20% every Sunday morning. How long will that last? Lord, if you do this, then there's an action and a reaction. We don't make deals with God. So, your lucky socks didn't work. You're looking for a sign, and you try to make a deal with God. And then you get into the fourth and final stage, because nothing seems to be working. Your condition just doesn't seem to be improving. And you can't get out of this depression or this funk or whatever you're in. And then you go to the ultimate desperate measure. You try to buy God. You try to buy God. You try to buy a miracle. You try to buy a healing. I'll be honest with you. I didn't go there, but the fleeting moment went through my mind that maybe those charlatans on TV just might have something going on. Maybe if I send in my seed money, that he has a miracle waiting for me. And all I got to do is plant that seed of $55, which is only good through Saturday night, that I will receive my miracle. And let me tell you, my friends, it's gone through your mind, hasn't it? At least once, a little fleeting moment over here as part of our humanity of saying, maybe I can just buy that miracle that I so desperately need. Well, you know, in Acts chapter 8, there's a man by the name of Simon the Sorcerer. He tried to buy miracles too. After he saw the power of the Holy Spirit, he wanted to buy the power that the apostles had. And what does Peter say? May your money perish with you. Trust me, Those charlatans on TV that I talk about all the time, that I love to talk about, they're still charlatans. They can't promise you a miracle any more than the man on the moon can promise you a miracle. But we do. We try to buy God, don't we? You know, it's kind of like part of that making a deal thing is step number three. You know, God, if you get me through this, that when I show up at church, I promise I'll give more money. You know, I'll buy that. Well, you know, the Bible's very clear in many, many different places about false teachers and about these charlatans. They're in it for what? For greed. For filthy lucre, the Bible says. They're 2 Peter chapter 2, read it. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, read it. It's all about the money. They're in it for your money. They want to take the money of the people who are expecting a miracle and use it for their own prosperity. The only people who get rich in those schemes are the false prophets. But there we are in our humanity, aren't we? We want the lucky socks to make sure everything goes right. We want that sign from God, the reassurance of knowing that He will take care of me. We want to make a deal with God so we know it will go okay. And in the last desperate ditch effort, we'll pay whatever it costs. You know, in Mark chapter 5, there was a woman who was bleeding for many, many years. And the Bible says that she had paid all her money to try to make this thing go away. And she spent everything she had. But here comes Jesus. If I could just touch His cloak, if I could just touch the cloak of that man, Jesus, I know I'll be healed. That's a woman who has gone from here to over here. And this is where we need to be. You can deal with all you want, the luck and the signs and the deals and the buying, trying to buy God. But the answer really is right here. And I thought, while I was going through my situation, I had to come to the realization of a couple things. This eye will never be 100%. But here's the thing that I had to come to terms with. Was it really the healing that I wanted? Sure, of course. You know, if we have a broken arm or something happens, sure we want that healing. And I'm never going to quit praying for that healing. But is that what I truly wanted as a Christian? And then when I had a conversation with some Christian friends, I realized what it was that I really needed. I needed peace. I needed peace. Because for too long, I just had too much turmoil going on in my mind. Lord, I'm going to pray that You'll take care of this eye and my eyes, that I'll be able to see. But in the meantime, give me some peace. Because I'd be up here one moment, down here the next moment, up here the next moment. I need a new normal. And that new normal has to be peaceful. And where else better to go than Philippians chapter 4? And before we get into the final solution, I was doing some research. There was a woman back in 1969 who wrote a book that was called On Death and Dying. And the author's name is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And she dealt with something called On Death and Dying, something about the five stages of grief. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. But the five stages of grief are this. Something tragic happens, a loss of a loved one, or maybe you have been told you have cancer, or something has happened physically in your life that you know that you're going to have this new normal, or maybe you've gone through a divorce and you think it's the most devastating thing that's ever happened. Whatever, you fill in the blank. But you start off with denial at step number one. This couldn't happen to me, or this didn't happen to me. Then step number two is anger. Step number three is bargaining. Hey, we kind of discussed that. Step number four is depression. And step number five is acceptance. And if we look at those five, that's great to look at them from a human perspective, from a secular perspective. Denial to anger, to bargaining, to depression, to acceptance. let's take those same words and let's use them over here. Let's use them on God's side. How do we approach that same situation looking at it from a Christian point of view? We look at it from Philippians chapter 4. Because ultimately, what is it that we want? I think ultimately what we want, sure we want the healing, but I think we want the peace. We want some peace in our lives. We can't deal with the turmoil of all this stuff that's going on. Lord, help me be able to handle my situation in a very peaceful and a new normal sort of way. Because I kind of want to be back where I used to be. I know the normal's going to be new, but I want it to be peaceful. What are the steps? The first step is this. We have to obey. Now, I don't have these in your bulletin if you want to jot them down. We have to obey. We have to be obedient to the Word of God. We can't dismiss the Word of God. It's a spiritual issue that needs a spiritual solution. So the first thing we need to do is we need to be obedient. What does God's Word say? If I want this peace out here somewhere down the road, how do I get there? First thing is be obedient. Obedient to God's Word. What does God's Word tell us in these verses right here? It tells us to pray. It tells us to pray about what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. By prayer and petition, it says, do not be anxious about anything. What are you anxious about? What are you fearful about? What's the burden that you're going through in life right now? You lift it up to the Lord. Don't be anxious about it. You pray about it. By prayer and petition, Lord, I have a problem. I need for you to help me and take care of it. But you don't make a deal with them, and you don't bargain with them, and you don't buy them. You pray to them by prayer and petition. And how do we do that? With thanksgiving. And we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. And this is a difficult thing, because this is a place where I had to be too. Because I was so upset that I lost something, I forgot to be thankful that I still had a whole lot. Amen? I might not have this, but look what I still have. I can still see. I still have this, and I still have this, and I still have her, and I still have my salvation. When you start adding up the blessings that we still have, quite often, they will certainly outweigh the loss that we're suffering. So we obey, we pray, we give thanks, and we trust. We trust. That's a difficult thing, because so often we trust in who? Ourselves. When we find out that ourselves really sometimes can't handle the situation. So when we obey and we pray, and we thank God, we must also put our trust in Him. Lord, I trust that You're going to take care of my situation, one way or another. Because as Christians, we have to believe Romans 8:28, right? That we know that God works, what? All things to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Somewhere down the road, is this tomorrow? Is this a year from now? Is this 10 years from now? I don't know how long it is. This is the good that He's got planned for me. And He's bringing me through this, all this new normal stuff, to get me over here. And I have to believe this is good. And I have to trust that this is good. And I know it's difficult. Because we are so what? Human. We are so human. But if there's one thing that I really needed throughout this experience that I've just gone through, it was peace. I just need peace in my life. And I believe that's where I am right now. I have peace. Are things getting better? Yeah, they're better, but they'll never be good. But I have peace about that. Do you have peace about your situation? And not just peace, peace that what? Surpasses all understanding. I don't know how I could be thankful, and I don't know how I could be resting in this situation that I'm going through, but I am. I know she's not here. But when I first started at this church, there was a lady that was here. Her name was Ruth Shirley McGann. And one of the first stories she told me was something that happened in her life. I couldn't believe it. How could someone like Ruth Shirley have peace that surpasses all understanding when knowing that somebody murdered her daughter? That's where we need to be. I don't know what she had, but I want that. That's what I want. And my daughter hasn't suffered that. It's just a stupid old eye problem. I've not gone through the new normal that Ruth Shirley had to go through. And she handled it like that. Now there's a Christian attitude. There's a person who takes Philippians 4:4-7 and takes it to heart and not only knows it, but stands on it and walks with it. That's where we need to be. Because I assure you, my friends, the normals in our life, they're going to change. And there's going to be new normals. And this over here is going to want to kick in, this humanity part of us, and want to say this and say that and make you feel bad. And yes, it happens to all of us. But this is where we need to be, don't we? We need to be over. Because there's nothing better than peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's go to God in prayer.